Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Hello, screeners. Alan here. This is a disclaimer. Essentially, it's an apology because the audio that you're going to hear in this week's episode is not the best audio quality that you have heard or gotten used to hearing on this show. Han Solo and I strive so much to make sure you get the best quality every single week. But this week we had a major technical issue and we had to rely on the audio from our GoPros to ensure that you get an episode this week. So we hope that you bear with us, you forgive us this one time, and join in the conversation as always. We love you guys so much. We appreciate your presence every week. So without much further ado, here is this week's episode of Script to Screen News Hour. And now, a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM with hosts Alan Mahana and Han Solo.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. I'm your host, Alan Mahana, and we're back after taking a small break last week. We brought you a brand new episode, actually the first ever episode of Script to Score, which we hope you guys enjoyed. We did receive some really good feedback from a lot of you. So we're back today, and so much has happened over the past week. So much news, so many new developments, so many new movies. So this is essentially, in a lot of ways, this is going to be our catching up episode. The episode where we catch up on as much news as possible, because like I said, so much has happened over the past week. Some good news, some news. I don't even know what Neil means, but so I can't be talking about this alone as usual. So join me in welcoming the solo to my Chewbacca, Han Solo.
Hello, how are you? I'm back from the German countryside.
So one of the biggest reasons we brought our fans the first episode of Script to Score was because you were not in town.
No, I was in Germany. Ah, it's a nice place. Yeah. The worst accent ever. It's actually not bad, I think. What do you think, listeners? Let us know.
Yes, let us know. You were in Germany. I didn't want to come and do the show alone because that would just not be cool. That would feel very different.
You'd feel lonely.
I would feel very, very, very lonely. We, again, jam-packed this episode full of so much news. Yep. But before we start with all that, let's discuss the movie of the week. I can't believe we did that insane. That was pretty dope.
Because, you know, we are Venom.
Much better than the movie.
Yes.
Earlier this week, Ahad and I got a chance to see Sony's entry into the ultimate Spider-Man.
But Spider-Man-less universe.
Spider-Man-less universe, unless it's animated in a different universe. Oh my god, it's so confusing. So we got to see Venom.
Yeah.
And, I'm telling you, I'm not going.
That sums it up.
So what do you think?
What did I think? Where do I begin? All right. So initially, before the movie ever came out, I had an issue with the whole Venom without a Spider-Man.
I think we all had that.
Because it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Because in the comics, Venom becomes Venom because of Spider-Man. Eddie Brock and Venom, the symbiotes, fuse together because of their hate for Spider-Man.
Right.
So in the movie, they try to do something different. It doesn't work. So that was very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
It felt wrong. It's not R-rated. Venom is very gory. It's very bloody. It's a PG-13 movie, so it could have been saved maybe with that. No, they didn't save it with that.
No.
The story was all over the place. As usual, you have the corporate bad guy motive and the girlfriend. And
look, the whole movie was built on cliches. It wasn't built on symbiotes. It was built on cliches. That's what it was. None of the characters had any depth.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Eddie Brock, who I would think should have had a lot more depth. Tonally, this movie was completely off. Didn't know if it was a dark horror thriller or if it was a comedy.
Yeah.
Or an action comedy with slapstick moments,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the raising and lowering of the hands and then at one point, when Eddie Brock first returns home, he looks into the mirror and Venom scares him and Tom Hardy just squeals like a girl,
falls into the bathtub
and I just could not get it. It's a huge problem or disconnect in the reception of this movie.
Yep.
I didn't know what I was watching. Did I chuckle in a few moments? Yeah, I chuckled, but I don't know if I was chuckling with the movie or at the movie. And I think that's very problematic.
Yep.
I agree with you wholeheartedly that this film should have been rated R. It shouldn't have been PG-13. I think Sony making it PG-13 there was a statement somewhere that basically said that Sony was trying to make it PG-13 so that it matches the Spider-Man of the MCU universe's rating. And I'm like, but you have nothing to do with the MCU. You're not even close to the MCU because you're your own little bubble thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. I think that's a ridiculous reasoning or excuse. I think this was a cop out. I think they were afraid because they did shoot
an R-rated
version.
And you can
feel
that.
And then that's where I feel like there's a disconnect in the tone. Even according to Tom Hardy, he said that all of his favorite scenes from Venom were taken out of the movie.
30 to 40 minutes
were taken out of the movie. So it's just very disappointing.
Yeah.
You'd expect things like this to happen in the DC universe, not here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's not MCU. It's Sony's Marvel universe, and they've had issues for a while.
Yeah.
Since the second the Amazing Spider-Man 2 onwards.
Yeah. You would think they would have learned from the Amazing Spider-Man 2, but they brought in the same writers.
But you know, here's something interesting, by the way. This film, leaving the movie, I had long conversations with different people, and you do have a number of people who thoroughly enjoyed this film. Big time.
I know that the group of people that we were sitting around us all loved it.
They loved it, and then we had the conversation of why they liked it and why not, and to them it was a fun action kind of flick, which to an extent it could be, but for me, a person, and I assume for you, who love comic book movies and who has been who has a certain standard, like the Avengers or Captain America or all the majority of the MCU movies, are of a certain caliber, and you cannot expect but fine superhero movie. It's a movie. It's a fine movie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This failed at that.
It did. Some of the effects were also a little off.
Yeah.
The fight sequence at the end of the film between Venom and
Riot
is just horrible.
Yep.
It's dark, and where they're fighting, it's all like browns and grays and blacks, and they're brown and gray and black. And so you couldn't tell which was Venom and which was Riot and who was where and who was what. And so disorienting. Like, I'm afraid people had seizures up front. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, those people sitting up front, like, what were you watching?
Yeah.
What were you watching?
And that scene was so slow. That's so short.
Yes.
The bike scene, the chase scene was too long, and this was way too short.
Right. And then the opening of the film, the first act, was way too short.
Yeah.
Because it went from him being whatever to him losing everything in a matter of 30 seconds. And then you jump 6 months later, and you're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It's just like a lot of stuff.
There
you're like bombarded with so
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this is because of the fact that it was supposed to be something, and then it was trimmed down, and they were trying to salvage whatever they had left to make a movie work.
I think everything was working against this film.
Yeah.
And any opportunity they had to make it work, they never took it.
But I mean, if you want to go and be entertained for a couple of hours and laugh at ridiculousness, go for it.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling it like early 2000s, early 90s kind of comic book.
Yes,
movies.
yes.
And for me,
like, it had the feel of like Batman and Robin, and like, you know.
But for me, that's outdated.
I mean,
I've been used to much better quality movies.
Yeah, especially with dark, gritty characters like that. Like, you would have, like, some depth, man. I was like, because the cast is so good. You've got Riz Ahmed, who's amazing.
But in this movie.
He's like, I mean, whatever. You've got Michelle Williams.
Also.
Who's also a seasoned actress who delivers some of the most ridiculous, over-the-top lines that even in a Lebanese television series you don't hear. Like, that's the level of dialogue that we were listening to. So much exposition was in the dialogue. You were being force-fed everything, like, you know, there was no mystery left.
If I want to give it like a positive kind of look at it, I did enjoy Venom and Eddie's bickering.
Yes.
And arguments.
Fine.
That was fun. That was nice. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can get that kind of bickering and bantering from like television shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, the Lethal Weapon and you know, like the good cop, bad cop, kind of, you know. It's disappointing, though, because...
Look, I think it's going to make enough money to have a sequel, but after the
maybe they'll learn.
But I think it will follow the same path as The Amazing Spider-Man. It'll do well with the first one. Second one, not so well.
Not so well,
and
then
maybe,
just fade away.
Just Marvel Studios will swoop in and kind of share custody of these characters. And the problem is with the Sony universe is they have movies left and right coming of these bad guys who are anti-heroes. It doesn't work all the time. They can't just keep on using this formula. They need the good guy, the hero, which is Spider-Man in this case, and see what to do with it.
And they anyway, if you go and watch this film, which can be seen in across all of Lebanese cinemas, you can see it in Box, Grand Cinemas, et cetera, et cetera. I believe it's playing in 40X. I'm not sure. It could be fun in 40X.
Perhaps, yeah.
Perhaps a lot of kids, you know, the action sequence and all that stuff, which, you know, 40X is in Box. You can see it. Make sure you stay post the credits, because there are two secret scenes post the credits. One of them way more worth it than the other.
Yeah. The last one.
The last one is way worth it, way more worth it than the other. So
what's happening? What's going on?
What is not going on?
It's
so much. There's so much we want to cover today on this episode, just so that we are not delayed, so that we're not completely behind in the world of movies and TV. So we're going to start off with the not-so-great news. I mean, depends on how you look at it. It's all a matter of perspective.
True.
You know, we'll start off with Lucasfilm and the Star Wars universe. So at some point last week, or late the week before that, we got word that Kathleen Kennedy, the current president of Lucasfilms, just got renewed for 3 more years.
Yep.
The soap opera continues.
The space soap opera.
The space soap opera continues. I honestly don't know what to think about this. Look, the woman's done a lot of good work. I cannot deny her CV. I cannot deny her archive of work.
Yep.
I cannot deny how much she's produced, how much she's been in the industry. I cannot deny her experience. However, what I can deny is that she was never in a position of power when she did those. She was a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's the president of a company. A company that relies on its fan base. And its fan base is extremely fractured. And she's clearly not 100% making the right decisions here. Again, all a matter of perspective. My perspective is not so many great decisions here. But Disney and Bob Iger decided to renew her contract until 2021.
Yeah.
So we're stuck with Kathleen Kennedy for another 3 years of slowed down Star Wars content, which we're going to tackle that in just a second.
Thoughts. I've been thinking about this a lot.
Okay.
Very honest.
Go for it.
And I think
it's okay if we bicker.
We can be Ben and Brock.
I'll leave Ben in this situation.
Okay. So Kathleen Kennedy. Oh my God, who's coming? So I think we're overblaming Kathleen Kennedy. If you look at what she's done in terms of Star Wars recently, I think with the exception of Solo, all her movies were successful. Yes, some were divisive.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at The Force Awakens, it did well.
Uh-huh.
The majority of fans liked it. You had the whole story of maybe it's a repeat of The New Hope.
Right.
Then you had Rogue One.
Which a lot of people love.
Yep. Again,
including me.
I adored that movie. Then you had The Last Jedi.
Right, Titanic hitting iceberg.
I love The Last Jedi. I know a lot of people did.
We've had this discussion.
Yeah,
it was very divisive
for people.
Exactly.
Again.
That's why I said Titanic hitting iceberg.
I think the big issue was Solo.
Divisive.
Okay. The big issue was Solo. Solo flopped, and for I think all the right reasons. Now, I think they when they bought the rights to Lucasfilm, and it wasn't her who bought the rights, it's Disney, as well, I think they're like, okay, we want to replicate the Marvel formula.
Right.
We want to duplicate that in terms of money, in terms of return. So let's pop a movie every year.
So now we've switched merged both Kathleen
topics.
And the Bob
exactly.
Iger.
Because I don't think you can talk about one without talking about the other.
They're kind of symbiotic.
Exactly. Very venomous.
Very venomous.
So I think the lady is doing what she can. I think people are just being too harsh today online. People are being too toxic.
Yeah.
People are being pissed off at the slightest and smallest thing possible. And I think people just have to let loose and enjoy these movies and not be so critical. I think it's gone a bit too much. Let's give her some time. I'm very happy that they've slowed down the pace.
Yeah, so let's jump to that.
Yeah.
So with the slowing down of the pace and the horrible disappointment of Solo in the box office, Bob Iger had an interview with Hollywood Reporter in which they did tackle that. And Bob Iger took the blame.
Yeah.
Like, he's taken the bullet, which, again, although I don't think he is the only one to blame here, like you said,
sure.
It's very symbiotic.
Sure.
I have to tip my hat to him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very bold, chivalrous move. For you to take the blame and say that it's your fault. So here's the official statement. I'm going to read it real quick. So Bob Iger, in the interview of the Hollywood Reporter, said, "I made the timing decision, and as I look back, I think the mistake that I made, I take the blame, was a little too much too fast. You can expect some slowdown, but that doesn't mean we're not going to make films. J.J. Abrams is busy making Episode 9. We have creative entities, including the Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who are developing sagas of their own." Sagas.
Yeah.
That's an interesting terminology here.
Mm-hmm.
Not trilogies, not whatever. It's a saga. So are we going back to chapters? Are we going back to episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Except they're not Skywalker related.
True.
So sagas are their own, which we haven't been specific about, and we are just at the point where we're going to start making decisions about what comes next after JJ's. But I think we're going to be a little bit more careful about volume and timing. The buck stops here on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
so,
he's very right.
Right. I do look, even with the Marvel formula, even though it has worked, there's something about the anticipation for movies that is exciting. And, you know, because we get like 3 or 4 Marvel films at a time, there is no anticipation. Like, the thing that you're anticipating is the, like, the Avengers movies. Like, those you anticipate. Whereas Star Wars, you used to have to wait 2 years, 3 years for a Star Wars movie to come out. Look at the gap between the Lord of the Rings movies or the gap between the Harry Potter movies. You have to wait, and then when that wait exists, fans get excited. Hype builds.
And they do it right.
Yes.
They have their time.
Yes.
To do everything right.
Absolutely.
I'll give you a very silly example, but the first Transformers is a movie I actually enjoyed. And I believe they took their time to do it. And so,
right.
And then
right.
when they saw the big dollar signs, they're like, okay, let's pop one next year, and then next year, and then next year. And it just kept deteriorating
yep.
in quality. And 100%. I think that's the problem with what they did with Star Wars. They
right.
they saw big dollar signs left and right, and they're like, okay, let's make these Star Wars movies every year, every now and then. No more anticipation, no more thinking, no more strategy, and go with it.
Yeah.
And if you go back, if I believe, to the early Marvel years, the
yeah.
MCU years, it wasn't as packed
yeah,
as
then,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, they took their time with the first Iron Man, and then they did Incredible Hulk, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then after that, they did another. But they
but
took
then,
their time.
Yeah,
and
the time gap was shrinking
yeah,
every year.
Once they got the hang of it,
right.
And once they were very familiar with these characters and they knew what the fans wanted, then it became easy.
And I think this is why I don't think the slowing down thing with Star Wars is going to last, like, long. I think what they're trying to do here is they're trying to regroup, they're trying to think things through, they're trying to really see what they should do here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been made very clear from the fans that our legacy characters, those characters that we grew up loving, we don't want people touching them anymore. You know what I mean? This is, I think, why they've shelved Boba Fett and Obi-Wan, because they're just like, you know what? Let's not do this. Okay? And I agree with them. As much as I would love to see an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie or trilogy, I would much rather we don't, because I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to get another Solo.
Yeah.
And I don't want Obi-Wan to go down the drain.
You're
I don't want
Obi-Wan right
to be Obi-Gon.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'd rather they slow things down. What's not slowing down, however, is John Favreau's live action series.
Yeah, that's
which
cool.
looks really, really fun. It's got this like very Western feel to it,
mm-hmm.
which is exciting because that's technically what Lucas thought of Star Wars, you know, like a space opera Western,
exactly.
you know, space
spaghetti
Western, or
spaghetti
Western
exactly.
type thing. So John Favreau released the synopsis for
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. How awesome is that title?
Super cool.
Like, it's super cool,
yeah.
man. It's such a cool title.
Is he Armenian? Mandalorian?
No.
Okay, sorry. Tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, so here's the synopsis. So, after the stories of Jango and Boba Fett,
mm-hmm.
another warrior emerged in the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian is set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the travails of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. The first season will comprise of 8 episodes, with Favreau on as a writer and an executive producer, but he's not the only big name
yeah.
here
yeah,
attached to this to this series, which is very exciting.
Very interesting.
So, first and foremost, Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
The Lord of Star Wars.
Is it the first time he tackles something
live action? Yeah. So for anybody that's out there that doesn't know, Dave Filoni is basically worked with Lucas very closely during the Clone Wars animated series.
Mm-hmm.
Once Lucas kind of stepped back, Filoni took over for the animated department.
Mm-hmm.
He basically was the showrunner for Star Wars Rebels. and is probably, for me, one of the best Star Wars storytellers currently in Lucasfilm.
Present, yeah.
And it makes me so happy that he's directing a pilot, and with rumors to return for a few other episodes. But he's not the only name that is kind of exciting to get into the Star Wars universe. How about you talk about the one that I think you're excited about the most?
Yeah, Taika.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi.
Mr. Thor Ragnarok. Director. I think I'm actually curious to see what he's going to do, what that episode is going to contain. Is it going to be a bit more humorous? I don't know, but I really want to see what he can do with Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
And I think he's fresh. I think he's original. I think he does need to tone down the humor a bit, just a bit.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, I think it's going to be fun. And I'm very excited about the show in general.
Me too.
Jon Favreau himself, if you think about it, kicked off the MCU.
He's a big Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, and he didn't kick off, but he made the whole Disney live action thing super popular.
Right.
So this guy, you know, he has a touch.
He's got it. And I like the fact that we're looking at The Mandalorian, honestly. So if you haven't seen the animated series, The Clone Wars, The Mandalorians, it's a culture that exists in the Star Wars universe that is very tribal. I see them as like the biker gangs of the Star Wars universe. Because you've got Death Watch, you've got a few other names that I can't think of. So there's like, they're tribal, they're very tribal.
Right.
So it's very nice to see that they're gonna be live, like a live action version of them. There are rumors regarding one of the characters from Star Wars Rebels, her name is Sabine, that she might possibly be that first animation to live action transitional, you know, like or merger, if you will, crossover type thing, which is kind of exciting. Some other directors' names: Bryce Dallas Howard,
very interesting,
who's Ron Howard's daughter. But also, we've got Rick Famuyiwa and Jessica Jones and Mr. Robot director Deborah Chow are also going to be behind some episodes. So, I mean, that's an A-list group of people.
Very eclectic, very diverse,
Very different
in terms of tone. Yep.
So I'm excited for this. I'm hoping that it's taking in the right direction. It excites me whenever stuff like this happens, because I kind of want to see how whatever's happening within the galaxy affects this.
Yeah.
And I really hope that this is taken into consideration.
I think
that it's not that it's just going to be its own bubble somewhere, that, you know, like rumors or like name drops, you know, like the First Order or the Empire, or, you know, so we'll hear someone talking about Skywalker or Vader.
Let's look at this. They could have done it at any point in time in the galaxy. They chose to do it between So I think obviously it's going to be linked to the whole Empire and the whole New Order. There's going to be like reasons for why this happened and why that happened and time.
I really hope so, because I mean that would be very exciting to kind of maybe get us all united and loving Star Wars
without any venom. This episode has been brought to you by venom.
Okay, so really quickly, a bunch of trailers were released over the past week or so.
Yep.
And we kind of want to talk about them. We have another massive trailer that we want to talk about a little later.
Mm-hmm.
but we want to talk about these four trailers really quick, which I have to be honest, there's one of them I did not see, but I'm hoping that you did, so that way you can kind of talk about it.
I think I've seen all of them.
Okay. So let's start off really quickly with the X-Men Dark Phoenix trailer. What did you think?
I don't know what I thought, because it felt very deja vu.
The Last Stand.
Yes, exactly. It was part that, and it confused the hell out of me. I don't know what to expect from this movie. It's had so many problems production-wise, delays and so on, with the merger now, Disney coming. I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm very nervous about it, because aside from Apocalypse, which a lot of people hated, I didn't hate that much. I kind of enjoyed Apocalypse, honestly.
Ooh, I did not like it.
Ooh, I see. Okay. We got one. I didn't hate it. I mean, I don't think it's a, I don't think it's like the best X-Men movie, but I didn't hate it as much as people did. But you had X-Men First Class, which was awesome. You had Days of Future Past, which was really,
wow,
really, really good. And then you had Apocalypse, which was a dip. But I really don't want it to fizzle out again. Like, I love the X-Men. Why can't they just get it? Why can't they do it right?
I don't know. And I don't know if this is going to be the last one before there's an integration with the whole MCU.
Oh, I'm definitely certain that it's the last one before
the
integration.
So hopefully, well, if that's the last one, I think I'll be happy.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what will happen once they integrate. But I really did not want to rehash of The Last Stand. Why can't they get the whole space thing from Dark Phoenix? Like, why can't we do it the way it was in
well,
the
comics?
Well,
maybe there is a shot of
there is a one shot of the space, and then there's another shot
so
of
maybe,
the fire and the fetal position. So I mean, I don't know, but I am very nervous about this movie. I'll just put it out there.
All right.
I'm extremely nervous about it. I don't know what to expect. Even though I love the cast, and that's it for Dark Phoenix. Next one, Rocket Man.
That was fun. That was a fun trailer. I actually enjoyed it.
I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm
big,
Elton John fan.
I'm a big Elton John fan. I love Elton John.
I watched him in concert last December.
I've never seen him in concert.
He was phenomenal.
I like his songs. I like some of his music. I think he's a great performer.
He has an interesting personality.
Yeah. Very interesting personality. And I think the trailer definitely shows it. It's colorful, it's fun, I had a smile on my face looking at it. So, I'm looking forward to it. And the actor that's playing him, great choice.
Yeah.
I can never get his name
Ansel,
right.
Nope.
No, it's the
Tagon,
Kingsman guy.
Yeah, Tagon, no. There's two or three guys which are very identical.
Yeah, yeah.
And their names are very close.
Yes.
But
it's the guy from Kingsman, people.
Yeah.
He's also playing Robin Hood. Which we don't want to talk about.
No. Moving on. No, but it looks like it's going to be a fun movie. It's going to be like, I like that it's based on a true fantasy story.
Yes, based on a true story.
So I think it's going to be kind
of. Such an Elton John thing.
Yeah.
It's such an Elton John
Elton,
thing.
Man. Yeah.
Freaking Elton. Next up, Bumblebee.
Bumblebee, yeah. That's the one you haven't watched?
No, I did see that one.
Okay, I liked it.
Yeah.
I kind of found it
fun. I was very nervous about it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm fried out on Transformers, and then I saw it, and I'm like, hey.
Yeah, but again, I think they're fine with this.
Yeah. I like that it's a period piece in a way.
Exactly.
Because it's set in like the
80s or 90s.
The 80s or the 90s, which is kind of fun.
And Bumblebee
is
a Beetle again, like in the original Transformers.
Bumblebee is a Beetle. Optimus Prime has a very retro look.
And there's one of the guys, I forgot his name, but he has like on his chest something pops out like a cat or and that was in the cartoons when I used to watch it as a kid.
It really reminded
me of my childhood watching Transformers.
So it looks fun. I like the lead, Hailee Steinfeld.
Yep.
She's a good actress, and I think it's a very smart thing. She's got that very like warm, kind face, so it really works. Very charismatic. It should be fun.
I'm actually because I've talked about this before.
You like John Cena?
Yeah, John Cena. I think John Cena. He has kind of. I think he's a bad guy or like.
So
that's interesting. He's never really done that before in a movie. So.
And isn't this the first Transformers that's not Michael Bay?
Yes, this is Travis Knight.
Yeah.
We talked about him, I believe, 2 weeks ago. He directed Kubo and the Two Strings.
Right.
So also that's an added value to the film.
Yes.
I'm kind of excited about that one.
That one excites me. And finally, Watson and Holmes, which is the one I did watch.
Yeah, I watched it.
I don't like both.
I know. Oh, okay, now I know what list I can. Okay.
Okay.
I do like his silliness and his improvisation. And I do love the combo of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. They're a lot of fun together. Yeah, it's goofy. It's silly. It's a new take on Sherlock Holmes. I think it'll be a fun movie. I laughed a lot
in
the
trailer.
It's a
silly take on Sherlock Holmes.
Why not?
Because it's Sherlock.
But no, Sherlock. And there's a joke about that in the trailer. And it's really funny. And you have to look at these movies for what they are. They're just fun. And it's a new take on Sherlock Holmes. We've seen a mouse be Sherlock Holmes.
in Disney. Yeah.
So why not? Why not Will Ferrell? Why not?
Because even the mouse took itself seriously.
It doesn't have to be always that serious. It can have fun with it.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is probably rolling in his grave,
or maybe laughing.
Okay. All right, moving on from the trailers.
There's a quick trailer I just want to ask you if you watched. Did you watch the Laurel and Hardy trailer?
Yes.
That one looks very
Stan
nice.
And Ollie.
Yeah, Stan and Ollie.
Yeah,
that looks
I did
really
see
nice.
That, and that looks amazing.
I'm
probably
like,
going to cry
yeah,
watching this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. We are almost going. We are almost living in a post-Game of Thrones world.
Yes.
The final season airs next April.
Mm-hmm.
2019. So of course, all forms of production companies want to create fantasy TV shows to grab your attention. Amazon is creating the Lord of the Rings series. HBO immediately jumped on and was like, prequels! Game of Thrones prequels! And now we get more word that more fantasy genre is going to be taking over.
Yep.
Netflix recently announced that it has purchased all the rights of the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yep.
So not only are we getting films, but we're also getting series.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. The only annoying thing out of this whole thing is that they're not rebooting it. They're doing a soft reboot with the what is it? The Silver Chair, I think it's called. But the Silver Chair is essentially like I think that's the last book in the series, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure.
The Silver Chair is the last one in the it's the last book. So I don't understand. So they're finishing off the movie series that they started, and then they're kind of doing this new thing with it. I don't know what's going on, but it's exciting because I love that world. So I love the world of C.S. Lewis. I grew up on it. I've read the books. So I mean, it's very exciting for me.
I think if someone can do this show justice, it'll be Netflix.
Oh yeah.
I think if someone can go creative and have fun with it and make it relevant, I think it's them.
Dragon Prince, anyone? Dragon Prince? Dragon Prince? Almost done with it, by the way. So good. So this is exciting. So Netflix will adapt Narnia into a mix of films and TV series.
Yeah.
There isn't any info yet, but we just know that this is currently happening.
Yeah.
This is one of the bigger things that's happening. The other one is that Amazon is official. I mean, it was rumored before, but now it's 100% official. Amazon is going to be producing or adapting Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time fantasy series. I don't know why I'm so excited. I've never read the books.
Yeah,
I've
never heard about it until I read the
book. Yeah, but it has...
Sorry.
Bless you. But it has a huge fan base. I know that much. And what's crazy is the amount of books that exist. It's like 14 books.
There's a prelude and there's...
Yeah. So there's like 14 books. 1 through 12 were written by... were written by Robert Jordan, but then... 1 through 11 were written by Robert Jordan, and then 12 through 14 were written by Brandon Sanderson, who's... book series I'm currently reading, The Stormlight Archives, which is super good. But it's just exciting to see fantasy becoming relevant again. I'm a big fan of fantasy, so I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, Lord of the Rings, etc. So this is also very exciting. And the idea that it's on Amazon, which is now also home of The Expanse, it's going to be home of the Lord of the Rings series. It's interesting how much Amazon is kind of taking on. Also, Man in the High Castle is also Amazon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are massive productions.
I think, what's her name? Fantastic Mrs. Maisel? I'm not sure. But yeah.
Fantastic Mrs. Maisel is also Amazon.
Magnificent.
Magnificent Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, so these guys are competing with Netflix, I think, now. They're in that game, in that area, and they're good.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Jack Ryan Amazon, or...?
Oh, yeah. Jack Ryan is also Amazon.
Yeah, so these guys...
They're going big time.
They're producing
so much content. And, I mean, there's no way that The Wheel of Time is going to be a cheap production.
No, I think they're going to spend a lot of money on it. They have a lot of material. They have these 14 books. They can do whatever they want. They can go up to 14 seasons if they want to. I mean, as long as they, do it
properly.
Produce
the content right.
That's always what you fear when there's kind of what's it called, a book or a series that's loved by people,
uh-huh.
a property, and you give it to be made into film or into series, there's such a loyal fan base, there's
yeah.
so much going on that you have to really be careful.
Yeah, they do have to be careful too, because a little fun trivia. Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time is actually one of the fantasy book series that does magic rules really well.
Okay.
So there's like specific rules regarding magic and don't have to geek out on it because I haven't really read the books, but I've been told that, and I did a little bit of reading myself, that the rules are very specific and they're very excellently explained and all that stuff. So they can't mess with that. If they mess with that, I know a lot of people are going to be very
upset. Yeah.
So really quickly, because we don't want to give ourselves less time
in the end,
talking about the box office. Chris Evans, no.
Yeah.
Chris Evans 2 days ago released a tweet, which essentially
he's hanging up the shield.
Spoils so much, but I think we all knew this was coming. It's sad. It's so sad.
But, okay. Yeah, but does it spoil? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know if he's dying or if he's having his happily ever after.
Yeah,
that's very true. But still, I mean, no Chris Evans in the MCU. It's just very sad.
Well, he is my favorite Avenger.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a huge Captain America fan.
Yeah.
Captain. And it is sad, but I think as an actor,
it's time. Yeah.
Chris Evans has to explore other roles. He has a lot of potential.
Yes, he does.
And I think he should do like different kind of things.
Yeah. I think he's also wanting to dabble in directing.
Yeah.
He
had a movie with a kid, the very smart.
Yeah. He directed that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite nice.
Yeah.
It was quite cute.
I can't remember the name, but
yeah. I think he has like a John Krasinski kind of parallel.
Yeah, he does. Very strangely, he does.
So let's see. I do wish him the best of luck, and
we want to salute you.
Salute you, and I want to thank you for making Captain America such an amazing character.
Yes,
yeah.
A big thanks from script to screen all the way to Chris Evans. Thank you for being our captain.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm gonna cry.
No.
Captain. I switched those around.
Yeah.
I was supposed to do Chris Evans last. Oh well, that's alright. So really quickly,
Aquaman
extended trailer. Does it live up to the hype? Okay, so here's the thing. I almost feel like eventually down the line, this is going to be another film we use in our second chance.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to try to want to convince you that this is going to be such a cool movie. Look, I really enjoyed those 5 minutes. It looks fun. It looks dope. And I like the quirkiness of it. I like that it feels like they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like they're not taking themselves too seriously. It's a man who talks to fish, for crying out loud. So you really can't. I mean, the Snyder formula would not have worked with Aquaman.
Oh, absolutely.
Whatsoever.
Oh, you're right.
So
I agree.
I like.
Heavily CGI'd.
I mean, Infinity War was heavily CGI'd.
No, to an extent, I think there's a lot of using real props and.
Yeah, but you don't know what's real and what's not in
Infinity War.
In Aquaman. I understand that underwater there's a lot of CGI.
But there's a lot of things in the trailer, like the Sahara and the buildings, that it didn't look natural to me.
We'll have to wait and see behind the scenes.
Of course. It was too long. I didn't want to watch it, but I kind of had to.
I made you, didn't I?
Yeah. Next time. I'm not, if it's Aquaman related, I just want to go in with no expectations. Because every time I'm watching something trailer related,
I'm
getting
right.
disappointed.
You're right. And I made that promise that I wasn't going to watch any trailers.
Oh, you've broken that promise
many
times.
I've broken that promise at least like 3 or 4 times.
600
right
times.
So that's not good. I mean, I'm excited for it. Personally, I'm excited for it.
Let's wait and see. Again,
hopefully my excitement will die down up until December. December is going to be a very competitive month.
It's going to be interesting.
There's so much coming out in December.
Yeah.
So much. You've got Bumblebee, Mary Poppins, Aquaman, Deadpool, the PG-13 version.
Yeah, the Grinch.
The Grinch.
I don't know if it's
like
coming out
so much. There's so much. There's so much. We're talking the Lebanese box office. Counting down from the top five of the films in the box office. We're going to talk about them a little bit because I think it's a very interesting top five this week.
It is.
It's very interesting. So starting off with the number five, we've got the film, the new modern thriller, Searching.
Yeah.
Which has done quite a good week. This is the first week with 3,239 entries.
Yep. I mean, it makes sense for the market over here.
Yeah.
I would have liked it to do better, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
But understandable.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, it's distributed by the amazing people at Empire Movies.
Exactly. Now, the movie I'm a bit surprised didn't do so well was actually the number four, Smallfoot, which usually animation does well.
In the region. It does.
And it's...
But you know what? It's just released with schools starting.
Yeah, and it hasn't It hasn't been marketed properly.
No, it wasn't. That's also true. But I mean, it's like the first week of school... nobody's going to go to the movies.
Maybe next week it'll do better. So it's at number four with
3,250.
I'm reading the wrong line.
Yeah, you were reading Searching.
Yep, 3,250, exactly.
Number three is the comedy Night School with 6,583. Comedy does really well in the region, specifically
Kevin Hart.
People really like him in the region.
And what's her name? Tiffany Haddish, which is
very
funny. She's,
yeah.
She's the next big comic, I think.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, yeah.
Agreed.
And number two, you have... Surprisingly, this movie is doing extremely well. Last week it was number one. We weren't here to talk about it, but it was number one. It's Johnny English Strikes Again. Very oddly enough, people have been asking me on my Instagram, have you seen it? Have you reviewed it? And I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's done 18,974.
And this is the second week, right?
And it's a total of, within the first 2 weeks, 50,182 entries.
That is a massive number.
Yeah.
And the number one.
And I'm so happy.
And the number one.
Yes.
Nadine Lavaquez, Capernaum, is number one this week. Congratulations to everybody.
Yes.
I also want to news this morning, today.
Yeah.
Zane.
Yes.
Won Best Actor at the Antalya Film Festival.
Wow.
So that is awesome. A big, massive congratulations.
Wow, bravo,
Zane.
Really, that's
big,
amazing.
Big, massive congratulations. So this is the second week. This week, Capernaum did 28,846 entries. But its total run, 62,921 entries. Well done, Lebanon. Keep it up.
Yeah.
People should go see this film. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it. Support Lebanese cinema.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends who haven't watched it, and I know still a lot of people haven't watched it.
Yeah,
so
go
watch
it. Let's keep it in number one. Very, very excited. Very excited. Congratulations to everybody on that
team. The whole
team. Congratulations to everybody on that team. So, here we go. Script to screen recommendations.
You want to start?
Do I want to start? I don't know. Do you want to start?
I can start.
Go ahead.
All right. So, since he is leaving his shield...
No!
I'm going to recommend... I think it's your favorite movie in the MCU. I'm going to recommend Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Yes, it is my favorite movie in the MCU.
And I think it's Captain America maybe at his best.
Yes.
Because some people found him to be a bit dull in the first
one. In the first one, yeah.
Which I don't agree with, but okay, fine. But this movie is so good. It's very political. Just the way you like it.
It is. You know me so well.
Oh, yeah, I do. But it's so, the action is just.
Oh my god, some of the best action sequences.
The CGI in it is.
Very minimal.
Properly.
The Russos at their best.
Yeah, that's. And the story is so intricate. And for me, this is why I love Captain. It's the loyalty, it's the love.
Yes, yes.
It's him
yes.
and Bucky.
Oh man.
It's him putting everything on the line. For Bucky, for his beliefs. And that's where he doesn't become boring. That's where he goes rogue. That's where he goes out of line, out of control. I loved him teaming up with Black Widow,
Scarlett Johansson,
Jojo. And the twists and the turns keep coming in this movie.
Yeah, it's
a spy film. It's intellectual.
It's not a superhero movie.
It's a thriller, political thriller.
Yes,
I just adore this movie.
Robert Redford.
Yeah,
I mean the cast just superb.
The fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes,
that's like pivotal in the
because not only is it the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you basically end up seeing that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been
infiltrated by Hydra
for years, and
such a great film.
You know what? I was going to recommend something, but since you brought that up, I'll go ahead and recommend Captain America: The Winter Soldier score.
Okay.
Because it's also one of my favorite scores. It's got some of my favorite tracks. Again, it's heart pounding. It's very aggressive. Henry Jackman composed the score. It's a very aggressive score. It's got probably one of my favorite tracks in the MCU, which is The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It's so insane. Like, if you ever listen to that score while driving, you'll probably want to get into a high-speed chase. Like, you'll feel like, okay, let's do this. You know, like, you'll feel very, very pumped and excited and all that. So that's what I'll do. I'll scrap my original recommendation for next week, and I'll do Captain America: The Winter Soldier, the soundtrack.
It's for Chris Evans.
Yes.
We have to.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I'm very curious to see what's going to happen next with the character of Captain America.
Yeah, I have a few theories.
Because he could be taken over by Bucky, or he could, like in the comics, or by Falcon.
Yeah. I have a feeling they're probably going to put in Falcon for reasons I don't know.
I think Bucky has been alluded as the White Wolf, but I don't know. I do feel that...
Hey, look, I'm not going to complain if Sebastian Stan gets the shield.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Bucky.
Yep.
So Bucky's one of my favorite MCU characters aside from Captain America,
yep.
Which is why I love the Winter Soldier so much. So yeah, it's exciting. It's an exciting world. We've got a lot of things to look forward to. The new seasons have started. Have you started catching up to new episodes?
I started watching the first 3 episodes of Iron Fist.
Oh, okay.
Better than at least the first season.
Not the best
show. And I'm very excited about Daredevil, which
yes,
is coming out very
yes.
soon. And
I like that Kingpin is back.
Yes, very Kingpin slash Daredevil. Because
he's
assuming his
original persona.
Yeah,
because second season wasn't that great.
Okay.
I mean, it was good, but
yeah.
It wasn't as good as season 1.
And The Man in the High Castle started yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
So I
want
to get my hands on that and watch it.
Okay, awesome.
Great.
So if you want to follow us on our social media, you can do so at Alamahana and...
Had.Solo.
You can also check out our brand new website. It's fully updated on scripttoscreenpod.com.
Yes.
You should also be subscribing, liking, and commenting on...
Anami, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're on
YouTube, anywhere your heart desires will be.
You'll be there.
No, okay. So thank you for joining us. Make sure you join us next Friday for a brand new episode of Script to Screen Spotlight, and Saturday for Script to Screen News Hour. You can also catch us on Mix FM. And Hadi's doing little stints song Script to Screen on Virgin Radio. You can also listen to him there. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. We are out of here. Cue the credits.
Let's do it.